Of course, we hear whenever we discuss the appearance day of the Lord, especially Lord Chaitanya, we can't help but discuss not only the life of Lord Chaitanya, the biography and the activities and pastimes he engaged in, but we also want to hear about his teachings. What is he trying to teach us? So we heard this morning from Maharaj, he's teaching us about the goal of life, his prema, Krishna prema. Maintain that goal of life by chanting the holy name, serving Guru, and always remembering Krishna. But in the course of practicing devotional service, there are things we have to do, do's and don'ts, yama niyama, things that we have to do and things we have to not do. So, one thing we have to be very careful about is making offenses to devotees. So this is a new year, we're starting a new year. Tomorrow is the first day of the new year, year 511, 511. Gurabda Shaka. Gurabda era 511 begins today, really, the first day of the new year. So we close our books today. We clear our accounts. We close our books. What books? Our devotional books. We have accounts. We're keeping account of ourselves. So today we close our accounts. This is a yearly summary, whatever they call it in accounting. Yearly summary, we're wrapping everything up. So we have to add up all our debits and credits and see, did we make a profit or did we lose? Last year, did we profit or did we lose? Did we actually make advancement or did we go backwards? Did we increase our attachment to Krishna and Guru and Radharani or did we decrease? Did we become more attached to Maya in the last year? How did our company run? Was our business successful or was it unsuccessful? Was it a total failure? Some devotees, they leave. They open their books last year, year 510, and they close their books today, and they're not here to close their books. Their business folded. Halfway through the term, they went out of business. Right? They blooped. They left. Sometimes we see that happen. So we're still in business. Everyone I see here, the business is still open. Everyone's engaging. So this is a new day to start new books. Okay, now I've learned my mistakes. In last year of my business, I made a few mistakes. I didn't chant my 16 rounds every day. I wasn't attending Mangalarti very regularly. I didn't really study Bhagavatam this last year. In the whole year, I only read one canto of Bhagavatam. 365 days. That means there's 300 pages in one canto, so I read one page a day. Well, that's okay. You should do a little better. You can make a little more profit than that. It's not a very profitable business. Only one page a day. So now we can make some resolutions, business resolutions for the new year and try to have a big profit. We want to report to Mahaprabhu next year a big profit in our business. So one thing in business, one of the losses in business is called aparad. When we're running our business, our bhakti business, and we commit aparad, then we suffer big losses. It's almost like having a fire. If your warehouse burns up, all your goods are in the warehouse and they burn up, then of course it's a big loss for your business. Because you've lost all that material, so you have to buy again if they weren't insured. So if we make offense, then a lot of our good accumulation, our piety and sukriti gets burned up. So we want to hear some interesting story. We're going to tell a story about offense, and then we're going to tell Lord Chaitanya gives the remedy how to overcome offenses. How to get free from offensive mentality. He himself, with his own words, describes. And then we hear also a special benediction that Lord Chaitanya gives about the person. So it's a very interesting story. And it's interesting who it involves. Who are the characters of this story? The characters are Lord Chaitanya. He's the leading character. And the second character in this story, or in this movie you could say, this Vaishnava movie, is Sachimata. So it's a story about a mother and a son. And then there's also another character there, Advaitacharya, the senior uncle. I think he classifies as an uncle. He's a senior uncle. So it's a story of a mother and her son in a small village setting on the bank of the Ganges in Mayapur 500 years ago. And it's told by Vrindavan Das Thakur because it's applicable to us. It's appropriate, it's relevant. It's not history, it's happening right now. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, only by the mercy of a Vaishnava can one attain Lord Chaitanya. If a person has no love or devotion, his austerities and japa will not help him attain the Lord. Even if he has attained Lord Krishna's mercy, a person who offends a Vaishnava is stopped and prevented from attaining ecstatic love for Krishna. Please carefully hear this story. By hearing it, just by hearing this story, one's offenses to Vaishnavas are destroyed. One day, the handsome, fair-limbed Lord Gauranga got up and sat down on the throne of Lord Vishnu. He took the Shalagram Shilas that were there and he picked them up and put them on his lap. And then Lord Chaitanya happily manifested his transcendental glories. He said to all his associates, he said, I am Krishna. I have come to the Kali Yuga. I am Narayan. I am Ramachandra, who bridged the ocean at Setu Bandhu. I slept in the ocean of milk, but then Advaitacharya's loud prayers broke my sleep. I am here to freely distribute pure spiritual love and pure devotional service. Advaita, ask for a boon. Srivas, ask for a boon. He's saying, ask for a benediction. Whatever you want, what do you want? And then, seeing Lord Chaitanya was now openly manifesting his glories, Nityananda held an umbrella over the Lord's head. And on the left side, Gadadhar held betel nuts, offered some tumble. In the four directions, the devotees were waving chamara fans, fanning Lord Chaitanya. At this time, Lord Chaitanya freely distributed pure devotional service. He gave the devotees whatever they desired. Someone said to Mahaprabhu, my father is an asura. He's sinful at heart. Please make his heart good. That will be a great relief for me. See, this is actually, someone brought up the question the other evening. If we see that some devotee is offensive, or he's in bad mentality, or he's antagonistic to Krishna or the Vaishnavas, a devotee who may be offensive, or maybe our relatives or mother and father may be antagonistic, what can we do? What should we do? Because they won't listen to us, we can't instruct them. So then you can pray to the Lord to change their heart. Just like the one devotee is saying, Mahaprabhu, my father, he doesn't like us. He doesn't like the devotees. His heart is not good. He's eating meat and drinking and smoking. He's doing all bad things. So Mahaprabhu, I'm praying to you, please make his heart good. That is what we've just heard. So we may have a similar situation. Our mother or father, or our wife or husband, they may be against Krishna. So what to do? We tried in so many ways by helping them, but nothing worked. So we can actually pray to Lord Chaitanya, please make their heart good. Make them attracted to Krishna. Give them faith in the holy name. Let them become attached to you. So in someone else, they asked Lord Chaitanya to bless their teachers. And someone said, bless their students. Someone asked Lord Chaitanya to bless their children. And some husbands asked Lord Chaitanya to bless their wives. They asked whatever they wanted. And Lord Chaitanya granted them and gave them whatever they asked. Smiling, he gave everyone the gift of pure love and pure devotion. Then Srivas Thakur, he said to the Lord, smiling, oh my Lord, Vishwambar, please give to your mother, please give to Mother Sachi, your own mother, ecstatic love of Krishna, Krishna Prem. And then Lord Chaitanya, Srivas said, everyone wants you to give her that gift. Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, I will not do it. I will not give my mother prema. And I will not give her the pastimes of ecstatic love for Lord Krishna. Everyone was astonished. Mahaprabhu is not going to give his mother. Kapila Muni, he gave his mother everything. He taught Devahuti everything about Samkhya and Krishna consciousness, devotional service, when she asked. And here all the devotees are pleading with Mahaprabhu, please give your mother pure love of God. Lord Chaitanya said, no, I'm not. I'll never give it to her. Because she has offended a Vaishnava. Therefore, she cannot have ecstatic love for Krishna. And then Srivas said again, Lord, how can you speak like this? Just to hear these words is making us want to leave our bodies. We can't bear to hear that you're speaking about your mother like that. You're her son. You entered her womb and you stayed there. Why is your mother not qualified to attain ecstatic love for Krishna? We don't understand. Your mother is the life of everyone. She's Shachimata. She's everyone's mother. She's Virat Vishwamata. She's the universal mother. How can you speak like this? She's the mother of all the worlds. Vishwambar, please, give up your tricks and illusions. Stop bewildering us and give her ecstatic love for Krishna. You're her son, and therefore she is also the mother of all of us. How can a mother offend her son? That is my opinion. Then he says, Shiva says, if she has offended a Vaishnava by chance, then please be kind and break that offense to pieces. So he's saying, Srivas is saying, oh, anyway, even if somehow or other your mother did make offense, then just break that offense and throw it away, forget about it. And Lord Chaitanya said, I have the power to teach my mother, but I have no power. I can teach my mother, but I have no power to break apart the offense against a Vaishnava. Only the offended Vaishnava can forgive the offense. Only then is the offense destroyed. There is no other way. And then Lord Chaitanya goes on. You know how Durvasa's offense to Maharaj Ambarish was finally destroyed? He's reminding him. Remember? How did Durvasa Muni get forgiven for his offense to Ambarish? He had to go there and beg Ambarish, please forgive me. And take his foot dust. So then Vishwambar said, my mother has offended Advaitacharya. Only when Advaitacharya forgives her will she attain the mercy that gives ecstatic love for Krishna. When she takes the foot dust of Advaita's feet and places it on her head, then by my order, my mother will attain ecstatic love for Krishna. So now you might be wondering, how is it that Mother Sachi offended Advaitacharya? What offense could she have done? How could she offend Advaitacharya? So jumping ahead to save time, this is what happened. Before this time, this is kind of like a flashback, they call it movies. You're watching a movie, then it goes back. So now the movie's going back. Before this time, sometime before, Vishwambar, Lord Chaitanya's brother, his name was Vishwarup. He left home. He took sannyas. He left home. And this is the setting, what happened. When she saw... And so, after her son died, what happened, after Sachimata lost her son, her eldest son, he left. And he used to associate with Advaitacharya. Vishwarup used to learn from him. Then he took sannyas and left. And her husband could not bear the separation from Vishwarup, and he left his body. So she lost her son and her husband. So then after Vishwarup took sannyas, Vishwambar, or Lord Chaitanya, he used to start going to Advaitacharya's house to hear the Bhagavat from him. And so then Sachimata became very afraid. Oh, I lost my husband, and I lost my eldest son. Now what's going to happen? I'm going to lose my only remaining son, and I'll be a widow with no husband, no children, nothing. So, seeing that her son was no longer at home, Mother Sachi thought, seeing that Vishwarupa was gone, or now seeing that her other son was not at home anymore, he was always staying with Advaita, Lord Chaitanya was always with Advaita, she thought, this Advaita will take away my other son. He will take away Lord Chaitanya. Then, unhappy, she started telling everyone. She started telling all of her friends, because she had no husband to talk to, and no children to talk to. She started saying, who says that this person is a Advaita? That Vaishnava is full of Advaita. Because the word Advaita means duplicity. It means dualism or duality, but duality also means duplicity. Duplicity means hypocrisy. Yeah, duplicity means hypocrisy. You look like you're my friend out front. Oh yes, Maharaj, oh you're very nice. Then behind my back you say, that guy's a bum and he's no good, he's a jerk. And, so you smile on my face and behind my face you say all kinds of nasty things and all kinds of offenses. So this is like a hypocrisy. So she's saying, his name is Advaita, Advaita, which means no duality, no hypocrisy, Advaita, no dual, no, not two, but Advaita. But he's Dvaita. Because he has already driven away one moon-like sun. Now he will not leave my other son alone. I am a helpless widow. No one is kind to me. To the world he is Advaita, but to me he is Dvaita Maya, full of duplicity, because the word Maya means full of or made of. So he's, to me he's not Advaita, he's Dvaita Maya. So that was the entirety of her offense. That was all, Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya considered that that was an offense. That Mother Sashi spoke like that to a few of her friends. So see how critical it is, how easy it is to make offense. Just speaking some offhanded words, oh, that Maharaj, he's this and that. Just a few words. But Krishna may take that as a serious offense. The devotee may not. Advaitacharya didn't take any offense, but Krishna did, and Lord Chaitanya did, to teach the example. So then what happened is, to make a long story short, as they say, there was a kirtan party, and then in that ecstatic kirtan, Advaitacharya, he fell unconscious. He fell unconscious in transcendental ecstasy. So at that time, Mother Sachi went and took the dust from his feet. She took the dust from his feet and she begged forgiveness. And that dust from his feet forgave her. So then Lord Chaitanya said, yes, now you've... And she also begged forgiveness from all the devotees. Because all the devotees were there and they saw her. So that was, she was showing that I'm submitting myself to Advaita. She took the dust and she begged all the Vaishnavas, please forgive me if I've made any offense. So in this way she became forgiven for her offense. So in several different places in Chaitanya Bhagavad, this is discussed. Principle of offense. So I want to just read a little bit. This is Vrindavan Das Thakur commenting on this pastime. Big Vaishnava. And he calls another Vaishnava a little Vaishnava. He may be peaceful and happy for right now, but for how long will that peace, how long will he remain peaceful and happy? So he's saying here that, oh, he's a big devotee. He's a big sannyasi, he's big guru, he's big Vaishnava. He's a maha mega guru. He's a mega guru. He's a world class guru. So Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, oh, he's a big Vaishnava. Oh, he's only a little Vaishnava. He's only a little devotee. He's only temple commander, he's only bhakta, he's a new devotee. He's only just initiated. But this devotee, he's 3 years in the movement. He's 10 years in the movement. He's big devotee. He says that you may think, yes, I can get away with this and be happy and peaceful, but ultimately your peace and happiness will be destroyed. Why? Because this is an offensive statement. This is offensive mentality. On the pretext of rebuking or criticizing or scolding his mother, Lord Chaitanya, the supreme teacher, he taught everyone to carefully avoid offending a Vaishnava. Anyone who jumps over the lion-like Lord Chaitanya's order and foolishly offends a Vaishnava will be punished for his offense. Lord Chaitanya knows everything that happens in all phases of time, past, present, and future. So anyone who disobeys his order, they will be punished. In other words, the order not to make offenses. By punishing his mother, Lord Chaitanya showed the result that comes from offending Lord Advaita or any other Vaishnava. No one can protect a person who has offended a Vaishnava. Therefore, one should avoid persons who offend Vaishnavas. One should avoid an offender, even if the offender is otherwise very qualified. A little association with an offender will make one fall down. So these are the words of the Bhagavad, Chaitanya Bhagavad, by Vrindavan Das Thakur. They must be taken very seriously. Even a little association with an offender will make you fall down. So, in other words, we're told that if offense is made, we should run from that place. We should run from that place. Why? Because we don't want to pick up the contamination of our heart or mind by associating. So that's the negative side, and the warnings are there not to make offenses. But then, there's a solution to that situation also. Again, the same point is repeated later on where Vrindavanas Thakur says, please don't use the word small. He says, filling your eyes, please gaze at the power of the Lord's devotees. Out of love, Krishna becomes a servant of his servants. Please don't use the word small when you refer to the servants of Krishna. Krishna himself never uses the word small or great to describe his servants or devotees. So Krishna doesn't say, oh, here's a big devotee. Here's a big, big devotee. He's a Maha Mega Guru. He's a GBC. He's a sannyasi. Oh, here's a big sannyasi. Krishna doesn't see like that. Our vision, we have to cultivate spiritual vision. Divya Chakshush. Spiritual vision is everyone is serving the Lord. Some are serving 24 hours a day. Some are serving 19 hours a day. Some are serving 1 hour a day. Some are serving 1 hour a week. Everyone's serving. So we should have that respect. Some devotees, it's all a matter of percentage. Can anyone say that he's serving completely and perfectly and fully? No. Then how can we criticize? Are we day and night, have we given up all eating and sleeping and day and night absorbed in serving? Then no. Then we should criticize ourselves. What's wrong with me? Why am I sleeping? Why? Because the soul never sleeps. But because I identify with the body, I have to sleep. The six Goswamis didn't identify with the bodies. Therefore, Nidra, Ahara, Vihara, Kadi, Vijito. They didn't sleep. You don't need to sleep. The soul doesn't need to sleep. The soul is always active. But, so we criticize ourselves. I have to sleep so much, I have to eat so much, I spend so much time looking in the mirror, spend so much time dressing myself and admiring myself and glorifying myself. So much maya. So, of course, the solution is also given to this whole situation in relation to Kuliagram. Because after Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, he returned to Navadvip, to a place called Kuliagram. Is old name for Navadvip, isn't it? Kuladvip, Kuliagram. So the Kuliagram means on the other side of the Ganges from where our temple is in Mayapur, there's Navadvip, the city of Navadvip. So Navadvip is also called Kuladvip, and this area was called Kuliagram. So Lord Chaitanya came there and he forgave all the people that offended him when he was a student and when he was living there. So many people offended him, and they were suffering. They were suffering in absence of Lord Chaitanya because he had went on tour of South India and he had now moved to Jagannath Puri. So they didn't know what to do. So in that situation, he returned there and he gave his mercy to them. So in that discussion of how he relieved them from their offenses, there's a nice explanation how we can become free from offenses also. When Lord Chaitanya came to Kulia, the sinners, lowly people, ordinary people, and great devotees who had previously made offenses were all delivered by the unlimited causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Simply by hearing about Lord Chaitanya's coming to Kuliagram will break the bonds of karma. So we simply hear about this pastime. By allowing everyone to come see him, Lord Chaitanya made everyone joyful at heart. This is a little bit different than during his Sankirtan Leela at Shrivas Angam in Mayapur several years before. He would lock the gate to the wall, the outer wall of Shrivas' house, and he wouldn't let anyone come in but 200 people. Only 200 people could come in. Those were his Priya Bhaktas, his very intimate devotees who'd come in for the evening kirtans. And many people became offensive. They thought offensively, what are they doing in there? They're drinking wine inside there. They're chasing women inside there. What are they doing? This is all told in Chaitanya Bhagavat in our evening classes we've been discussing. So many people made offenses to Lord Chaitanya at that time. So then when he went back to Kulia, he let everyone come see him. Open darshan, open door. Anyone, everyone could come see him. At that time, one brahmana came and he tightly grabbed the Lord's feet. And the Brahmin said, Lord, I have one request. If you please give me one moment, I will tell you. I was unaware of the glories of devotional service. In other words, he wasn't a Vaishnava Brahmin, or you can say Gaudiya Brahmin. He was maybe just a Smarta Brahmin. Unaware of the glory of devotional service, I committed many sins. I blasphemed many Vaishnavas. I would say, Kali Yuga. There's so many arguments. It's a fighting age. I would say the Brahmin is confessing. The Brahmin's making a confession now. How in Kali Yuga is it possible for anyone to be a true Vaishnava? How can anyone truly sing in kirtan? Moment after moment, I blaspheme many Vaishnavas in this way. Please tell me how I can break my sins into pieces. Then when Lord Chaitanya heard the sincere words of the Brahmana, he smiled and gave the remedy. So now Lord Chaitanya, from his own mouth, he's giving the remedy, how to remove our offenses. Because all of us, from time to time, Lord Chaitanya is saying, this is the Siddhanta, this is the actual Siddhanta. You make offenses, what do you do now? Lord Chaitanya said, O Brahmana, please listen. If with his own mouth the person drinks poison, then with that same mouth the person has to drink the nectar of immortality. In other words, if you drink poison, vish, then to counteract or neutralize that poison, you have to drink amrit. So he's making this analogy. Then the poison will be neutralized and go away. Then when that person receives the nectar in their body will become immortal. Because amrit means no death, amritu, no death. That substance that makes... Now please listen to my explanation. This is all quotations direct from Lord Chaitanya. Not knowing what was happening, in other words, unknowingly, you committed offense against the Vaishnavas. And in this way, you drank poison. Now with your mouth, you should always drink the nectar of Krishna's holy name and qualities. Nam Amrit. Nam Amrit Gun Amrit. That same mouth that once blasphemed the Vaishnavas should now sing their praises. In other words, with this mouth we drank poison, so now we have to drink nectar. So with this mouth we poisoned the atmosphere. We poisoned the ears of the Vaishnavas. And we poisoned our heart. How did we poison the atmosphere and the ears and our heart? By blaspheming the Vaishnavas. So now we have to pour nectar into the ears of the world, or into the ears of our god sisters or god brothers, and into our own mouth, and into the atmosphere, by praising and glorifying the devotees. Lord Chaitanya said, O Brahmana, in poetry and in songs, you should sing the glories of the devotees. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula. The pure devotees of the Lord, right? They're always engaged in bhajan and doing things that are favorable for the Lord. To glorify the devotees, like this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He glorifies the pure devotees. By drinking the nectar of Krishna's glories, you will counteract the poison of blasphemy. What I say is the truth. If a person who unwittingly commits blasphemy, stops blaspheming others, and instead praises Krishna and the Vaishnavas, then that person will destroy all his sins. That is the right way to destroy them. Millions of rituals of atonement will not destroy them. O Brahmana, go and sing the glories of the devotees. Then you will become free from all sins. When all the devotees heard these instructions of Lord Chaitanya, they all cried out, Jai, Jai, Hari, Hari. In this way, Lord Chaitanya described the best atonement for the sin of blasphemy. So you should glorify the devotees, drink the nectar of Krishna Katha. By drinking the nectar of Krishna's glories, you'll counteract the poison of blasphemy. That's one thing. You read about the glories and pastimes of Krishna in 10th canto. And then with your mouth, that's what you do with your eyes. You read about Krishna's pastimes. That's for your eyes, to purify your eyes and heart. But to purify your mouth and heart, then you praise the devotees. You glorify the devotees in song and words and poetry if you're a poet. And then when that comes to pass, we see that there, in the Madhya Kanda, Lord Chaitanya, he makes a nice phrase. He explains that, very nice explanation. He says that if a sannyasi blasphemes an innocent person, that sannyasi will fall down and all his piety will perish. Then Lord Chaitanya, he raised his arms and he told to everyone, renouncing criticism of others, everyone please chant Krishna's name. Then Lord Chaitanya, this is the boon Lord Chaitanya gives. I will personally deliver anyone who does not criticize others and who once chants Krishna. That is the truth, it is the truth. So, as we said last night in a smaller assembly or sangha, Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna are giving this benediction. If you chant Krishna's name once, he doesn't say Shudanam. In the Bengali, it doesn't say Shudanam. It doesn't even say Abhasnam. It says any kind of name you chant. Maybe you were chanting with offenses or offend the name or whatever. You just chant Krishna's name. But if you can chant Krishna's name once, and if you don't criticize anyone, if you don't criticize anyone, Lord Chaitanya said, I will personally deliver you. Lord Chaitanya will personally come and deliver you. Just like people say, oh, if you dedicate your life to the Sankirtan mission, then Lord Chaitanya will deliver you. Yes, if you don't criticize. So we were saying last night, well, that's easy. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, when he gives his benediction, he says, if you don't believe it, he said, it's the truth. Believe me, it's true. Three times he says the benediction, and he says, listen, it's true. I'm saying it, it's true. Chant Krishna's name once, but never criticize anyone. Never criticize a devotee. So now, we can say, oh, it's easy. I've chanted Krishna's name once. I've done it. So that part is covered. But now, what about the other part? Is it easy not to criticize anyone? That's the hard part. Can we go one day without criticizing? Can we go 1 hour without criticizing? It's very difficult, because Kali Yuga is the age of criticism. This is the age of criticism. The age of appreciation is Satya Yuga. That is Satya Yuga, the age of appreciation. The age of toleration is the Treta Yuga. And the age of fighting is Dwapara Yuga. It's on the edge. So first there was appreciation in Satya Yuga. Everyone appreciated, everyone's Paramahamsa. And then in Treta Yuga, how the people would tolerate. They wouldn't criticize, they would want to criticize, but they would tolerate. They wouldn't criticize. And Dwapara Yuga is kind of in the middle. There was fighting. There would be fighting, but not so much criticizing. But in the age of Kali Yuga, it's completely criticized. In the atmosphere, it is the age of criticism. This is the very age of criticism. It's in the atmosphere, it's in the newspapers, it's on the television, it's in your mother, it's in your father, it's in your heart, it's in your blood, it's in your mind. So this is, if we can overcome this, automatically we go back to the spiritual world. So this is a very important message Lord Chaitanya is giving us. So now it's our new year, we're starting our new books. It's new year, we close the old year, it's the year 511, beginning today, 510 is finished. 511 is number 7, auspicious number, 511, 7. So let us make our year auspicious by avoiding this tendency. In fact, we were discussing this with someone. Part of criticizing is also to see bad in someone. To see that even though there's good, so much good in everyone, we will always see the bad. For example, someone published a book recently, a very nice book. And we were walking with a friend doing Prikrama Vrindavan with one devotee. And then I mentioned this book. I said, this book has been published. It's very nice. And then that person, they were thinking in their mind, they actually thought, because we had this class about not criticizing, they were thinking, the thought came through their mind, yes, I agree, it's nice. But then what they spoke is, but the same, because thoughts come many times, many thoughts are there at once. Try chanting japa and see how many thoughts come. So they were thinking, yes, you're right, Maharaj, I want to agree. I want to say, yes, it is a good book. But what came out of my mouth, because I also had this idea in my mind, oh, but it's so expensive. So what I said, this is a really nice book. He did a very good job. And then what that person said is, but Maharaj, it's too expensive. In a very negative kind of fault-finding way. And then the person caught themselves, oh Maharaj, I didn't want to say that. I really didn't want to speak negatively like that. I agreed with you, but somehow it was natural. I just naturally speak negatively, or naturally see the bad, or see the... I'm trained that way. It's automatic. So this person is not alone. This devotee is not alone. There are about 5 billion people that are in the same position. This is the nature of Kali Yuga. Even if we're thinking about it and we're conscientious to the point of wanting to avoid negative thoughts or thinking negatively of someone, it'll still come out. What to speak if we're not even conscientious or trying to improve ourselves or conscious of that bad quality. So therefore we humbly beseech and beg all the Vaishnavas to try to coat your tongue with honey and take off the ajwan seeds. Take the neem coating off of your tongue and put some honey on there. So something madhur, madhur swara. So something sweet comes out. In English we have a phrase, if you can't say something nice, then shut up. If you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. And I think there's some phrase in Hindi like that you were saying last night. So this is the idea that we want to build a beautiful temple, we're trying to build a beautiful temple. So let us give up this criticizing. It does no good for anyone. It is also, it's offensive. Criticism poisons us, and it poisons the world, and it poisons others. So everyone's dying. We are dying because of criticism. If someone says, oh Maharaj, why am I not making an advancement? I have Guru, I have Shastra, I have Sangha, I have the holy name. The primary cause for not making spiritual advancement is one. Aparad. It is aparad. And most importantly, because the name forgives offenses to the name. So we have the 10 aparads to the name. So we're chanting the name, and as we chant, we become, our relationship with the name improves. So then we can chant without offense. But the offenses to Vaishnavas, that is our biggest problem. That is our biggest problem. Not offenses to the holy name, not offenses to the Shastra, not even offenses to Guru. Of course, Guru is the greatest Vaishnava that we associate with. But offenses to the devotees. This is the main anchor that's holding the ship of bhakti from crossing the ocean and attaining the lotus feet of Krishna. That's why there's a whole book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, is nothing about different explanations about Vaishnava behavior, honoring Vaishnavas, appreciating them. This is a very important point. So intention means motivation. What is my motivation? What is, in other words, in a more intimate way, what is my bhav? What is my mood towards that individual? What is my motivation? What is my intention? What is the idea of my mind? So, for example, we'll talk about the criticizer. The criticizer, his motivation or intention is to put down someone, to hurt someone, to put someone down, to belittle them, to destroy them, to remove them, to lower them, to separate them, somehow to hurt them. And moreover, the criticizer, he doesn't like to see the person improve. He hopes that the person he's criticizing will stay bad, will stay so he can continue criticizing. Because if the person becomes good and rectifies himself and removes all of his anomalies and bad behaviors and all the points that you criticize, then what will he do? Because this is your nature. This is your habit to criticize. And if everybody becomes perfect and good, then you'll go crazy because there's nothing for you to do. There's no one to criticize. So the criticizer doesn't want to see people improve. And his motivation is ill. It's bad, bad motivated. He always sees the bad in other people. Because he's envious. He's got problems. Now, correcting, because the question was asked last night about the difference between criticizing someone and correcting them. So correcting, also, before you can correct someone, you have to analyze them. Because you're using analyze, but analyze brings usually one to a point of thinking about correcting. So the idea of the corrector, the mentality of the person who wants to correct is he wants to help someone. Like the mother, she's not trying to destroy her children, she's trying to preserve them, protect them, and nourish them, and help them. So she advises them, please, I would like to suggest something. That if you continue like this, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to run into difficulty. So please, I want to give you some advice. So the motivation, it's the motivation which is important. What is your mood, your motivation? You go to the devotee and say, please, please don't mind, but I want to recommend. So you're actually, your whole intention is to help, to benefit, to improve. Because you want to see the devotee go up and go forward and be happy. So that is the difference between, and then that's analyzed. So you may see bad in an individual, but you see some bad things, but you also, if you're you can say benignly motivated or interested in helping that person, you'll not only just analyze, but you may feel like a mood of helping, a love to want to help them, so then you try to correct them. But the criticizer, another thing about criticism is always done behind the back, out of sight. And correction is done on the face. If I want to correct you, I say, excuse me, please don't mind. But like we ran a temple for 4 years, so when so much correction has to go on. But our motivation is not envy or not trying to destroy someone. But we see that the person is on, he's on a self-destruct course. He's going to destroy himself if he continues. So, and another thing is, criticism is done behind your back and in public. And in public. Just like in management, they have a phrase, they have a, like a sutra. They say, criticize, or you can say, chastise in private, praise in public. Praise in public. In other words, you want to tell someone, you have to correct. So in other words, correction is done face to face and privately. So the person suffers no humiliation. You correct the person privately, not, oh, by the way, Varaha. Everyone, 100 people look, oh. You're going to look, what's, you know, you did this and this and this. Oh, yeah, Varaha did this and that. So, but the criticizer wants to do it behind your back, but in public. Not just one-on-one. He wants, the more people around, the better, as long as you're not there. As long as you're not there, and there's lots of people, then he loves to criticize. Because everyone says, because then everyone else, they say, yeah, that's right, this and that. Then everybody, yeah, builds up a big, big conflagration, a big fire of criticism, because everyone throws in their two pieces. Just like you see one dog in Vrindavan, you see one dog biting another one. The big dog, there's two big dogs fighting. So the biggest of the big dogs, he's winning, and he's on top of the other one, biting him. So then all his little brothers and sons and daughters or whatever, they say, wow, this is a great opportunity to bite on that dog. So then all his whole family comes and bites on the dog. So the big dog is beating up the dog, and then all his little relatives come and bite on his tail and his ears and everything while the other dog is getting, you know, conquered. So that's what happens. One person criticizes, and then all the other little dogs, they throw in their criticism. Yeah, he's like this. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, blah, blah. It's a horrible thing. But it goes on all the time. In this room, in this membership room, in this room, in that room, you know, behind the scenes. All this is going on. So we're charging the atmosphere with all this maya. All this aparad. Very bad. So it's like we're trying to break through this steel wall of aparad. It's surrounding people, surrounding rooms, surrounding projects, surrounding individuals. This is the impediment. Why is everything so slow moving? Push back the dates, this day, money hard, this hard, problems. Because of this, this is the one thing, aparad. This is it. So when Lord Chaitanya is giving very sanguine advice, very proper advice, increase our Krishna Katha. He says, with your eyes, read about the glories of Krishna. That's what he told us, to repeat. And with our mouth, we should wash out that poison from our mouth, just like our mother when we were little. If we said some bad word, she'd say, go wash out your mouth. Or she would wash it with soap sometimes. If we said some bad word, she would take soap and put it in her mouth. Oh, she, that's what you're doing. If you're speaking like that, you're speaking all these bad bad words. And this is not our family. We don't use it. Now I'm going to put soap in your mouth. You like that taste? Oh, no, don't do that. So that's what you're doing with your mouth, putting soap. This is a horrible thing. So your mouth should glorify and praise the devotees. And if you don't know about praising devotees, and you're very hard-hearted, then get the books that praise devotees. Read the Charita Jivani, Vaishnava biographies. Read the books where Vaishnavas are glorified, then you'll get the idea. Oh, people do glorify devotees. And they do so many wonderful things. And you'll get the idea how the Acharyas have glorified devotees. Their biographies, Prabhupada Lilamrita, and so many books are there. Bhakta Mal Raj K. Bhakta, so many books in Hindi and English you can read. Hundreds of the great saints of Bengal, the great saints of Braj. How are they glorified? Because we're living among great saints. You're all saintly men and saintly ladies. And history will note down. Prabhupada said that historians will write down how ISKCON has changed the face of the world. What is ISKCON? They're going to write, yeah, ISKCON did this and ISKCON did that. They're going to write about individuals. And people will write biographies. Devotees in this room, there'll be biographies written about them. What they represented, what they taught, what their life was, what their austerities, what their habits were. There will be biographies, Vaishnava biographies, written about devotees sitting in this room. So why don't we start writing those biographies, each one of us? Oh, I'm going to write your biography. Yes, you're very good, this, that. You make the best sweet rice in Delhi. Krishna Priya can testify. He said, Maharaj, this looks very good. And it tastes very good also. Big smile comes up. He said, who made this? I said, Radhika made this. Radharani's cooking for Krishna, so who else made it? Radharani's making all the preparations. Oh yes, I think she made this. It tastes like Radharani made this. So in this way, we have to start writing a biography. The biography of Srikala Gyan. Vaishnava biography. The biography of Brahadas, written by Ramnam. Oh yes, this Brahadas, he was born in Bengal in a Vaishnava family, and from the very earliest youth he was bathing in Ganga and playing just like Nimai Pandit. And then he went to school and he would throw ink on his friends, and he never liked school, he only liked to stay home and play bhajans with his grandfather. And gradually, this is the life of the devotees. Very special thing. So we're living with so many saints, saintly men, saintly ladies, but they were thinking this person badmash, this badmash, that. We are our own worst enemy. It's right here. Prabhupada said, nothing outside can stop ISKCON. Nothing outside this movement can stop us. So if we're meeting stoppage, or we're meeting impediments or obstacles, it's from inside.